Father, we thank you for today, for this fine morning, Lord. The rain came and the sun's coming out. Let it be a great sunshine day for us, Father, in thy spirit and in thy word. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can approach you now and learn something. And be reminded, Father, of your word and the promises that you have in store for us, awaiting for us, O Lord, the day when Jesus Christ comes. So, Father, we commit this time to you right now, asking for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pick on a little thought. 20 years ago, when my son was about 20 years old and my daughter was 17 years old, they probably will not remember this message. The title of the message is "The Word We Speak." Or I could put it in another title: "Learning to Rule to Reign." Ruling and reigning, they're all connected. So for us, we live in this world. We know that Satan is the God of this world. There's a lot of sin, a lot of bondage, a lot of death. For whatever happened already in the Garden of Eden, he threw a serpent, caused all this. And the world is filled with it. Now you remember what are the three great sins that all started in Eden. The first one is fornication. Right? The second one is, come on, you should know, it leads to murder because of what Cain did. That's another terrible sin. And what is the third one? To cover up all the act, it is nothing but lies. And tonight, this is the world we're feeling. We live in this world, and this is what we see. The sexual problem has always been the main issue. And then, where is the husband and wife relationship that they fight and they kill each other. And you know about this thing happened here, even literally in Singapore. And then cover it up, they tell lies. And we see lies in the political world, lies in military world, and lies everywhere. So, how do we being Christian, what can we learn from this thing that is going on in the world? Because one of these days, this world will be over. When Christ comes back, we're going to rule with Him. Not just rule, we're going to reign with Him. So before we can reign with Christ, there must be something that we need to learn. And I want to take three fellows in the Bible and show you what God, did with them, and how God showed us their weakness. I think, as I said this many times before, that we don't want to be exposed. The Bible said, "You show your sin, we'll find it out." Right? Now, if I ask you a question this morning, as I said, be honest, be sincere. How many of you can say that you have no sin? Put up your hand. How many of you can say that for the last month that you have never committed a sin? Let me see your hand. I'm not missing this big one, Not necessarily, huh? What is sin? Sin is just an evil thought. Huh? You think bad about something. You get angry with somebody. Whatever. That's sin. In the eyes of God, there is no such thing as what you call cardinal sin, mortal sin, and venial sin, there's no such nonsense. The Bible says a sin is a sin. How big and how small, it is a sin. Right? The mote in your eye, you look at it, maybe very small. And your brother's mote in the eye is big, like a lock. What did Jesus say? You know, your brother examine your own. Because you tend to look at other people's sin as big and your sin is small. Alright, let's read these few scriptures. Book of Mark, chapter 14. The book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 66 to 72. Alright. Mark 14, chapter 14, 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what you say." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied again. And a little afterward, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreed thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. Oh my. You know why? You see, the subject of what I'm talking about, the word we speak, here is what Peter spoke. The word that he spoke. And I'm also thinking of subject and a thought that in order for us, because we are looking forward to the coming of the Lord, we are going to reign with Christ. So in order for us to be able to reign with Christ, there is something that we need to be learning. Disciplining. And you know one thing? I thank God for His grace. For His patience with me and with you. You know, Christ was full of patience for Peter. Do you know that? Peter was hot-headed. And yet he reminded Peter. Even Peter was so strong, but he was so full of self-consciousness. He said, "No, I will not deny you." Because Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crow twice this night, you will deny me three times." So what had happened? How am I? How do you think? What do you think Peter felt? I mean, you know. How did he feel? Must be very painful. Because he denied one time the cock crow. And a second time, and a third time, the cock crow loudly. I guess that he heard it so clear. So, oh my goodness, I have done what Jesus said that it would happen. And it did. See that? But Jesus was not condemning Peter. No, he just reminded him, "You are strong, yes, Peter. You love me. You saw, you know I do." Three times Jesus asked him, "Then feed my sheep, feed my lamb." Reminded him. You know. And that's why Peter, because of the incident like this, he was strong. Strong, but so strong later on, that even he was taken and was dying after death, hanging on the cross upside down. And even he was whipped with 39 stripes. Oh my. Well, there is another two disciples. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, 51 to 55. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. Remember these three great disciples? Peter, James, and John. Right? Peter, now here in this Luke case, who were these two men? It was James and John in verse 54. This, why did the Bible single them out like that? Because Christ knew them very well. Their character, their temperaments, their strengths and their weakness. So in this incident here, well, you know, they were so zealous. They were so, you know, for the Lord, that they feel like these people need to be judged there and then. Call fire down from heaven and just consume them. Yeah, I don't know how many times, like I said this before, many times I felt that way. You know, if I have the power, I will call lightning and whatever to come and judge the person there and there. So you know what? How many of you have felt that way? Come on. Don't tell me you're not. You're fasted, all right? Well, I believe some of you are driving cars, especially. Look at the crazy guy. What is it? My goodness. Hey, you think all sorts of thought in your head? You see, it's very natural, because here we are living in this world. And the king, the god of this world, is Satan. He has the control over the whole of this heaven. You understand? All his whole of evil spirits are all around, influencing people's thought. You know, it's a lot of people don't realize now. The spirit is influencing us through all the five senses that we have, to what we feel, we see, we touch, and all this. You know. So just imagine, we are Christian, we are here. We are still here. Though we are not a citizen of this world, we are a citizen of the earth that belongs to God. The world belongs to the devil. And yet here in the world we have to play our part. No doubt. The system is here. And it affects us so badly. And you know, here is the time here that we are being tried. How that we should remember what we speak. The word we speak is important. That's what Jesus said to him. You don't know what manner of spirit you have. Why do you speak like this? Do you know why you speak like this? James, John. You know, King David, I think, is so well known. I think he is so well known. I mean, no matter what you talk to people, have you heard of King David? Even people who are not Christians, yeah, I heard of King David. Right? They might not hear about James and John, you know. But they were, they know King David. Yet, the story of King David is also well known for what he had done to his general, we'll say the commander-in-chief, so that he could get his wife. Huh? And God exposed him. As I said this before, it is written in the Bible, the lie, the sin of King David. Exposes sin. Oh my goodness. And I said, nobody wants to have their sin exposed. Isn't that right? But the Bible says this one thing, be sure your sin will find you out. Somehow, somewhere, you make mistake. But when we make the mistake, we are exposed. What do we learn from that? King David know what to do for that. He knew he had done terrible mistake. And God had judged him righteously. Took away his son. How he longed for that one son, the firstborn. He prayed and he cried and mourned for him. So what do you think King David did? After a while, several days later, he realized, I said, he cannot come to me. I can go to him. God judged him there. Bad. You know, your firstborn, you know. Just imagine. And God exposed him. You know what? If you have done some, commit some sin, you know, recently in the paper about this young fellow, Amos E. Huh? I don't know what's wrong with him. I pity him. What got him into this thing, you know, in the last year or so? And now the image that he has long hair and all that. What's happening to him? What influence of the spirit in this world had caused him to be like that? Now, I don't think the parent loves him, but I don't know what's going on with his relationship with others around him. I don't know. We really do not know. We do not judge him. We just wonder what's causing him to be like that. And I pray that he will learn out of these things. And we all make mistakes, and I pray that we all learn. I'm learning from a lot of mistakes. Sometimes I just saw we all did some crazy thing. We all do. And sometimes when I think evil thoughts of any frustration about certain things, and I get very upset with myself. Yeah? Now when I preach this on some video, other people see the video and say, oh brother, you did this thing. Of course I do. Huh? Did not Paul say that he was a chief of sinner? If anybody can say no sin, he's a liar. That's what John said. Right? We have our weakness. Make sure that we learn from those things that we have gone through. And then, if we are exposed, whether it's exposing the church or exposing our neighbor or in the newspaper, it's just only that. Maybe only in Singapore people know you. But King David is known around the world. Huh? Is that alright? Yes. His sin is exposed and everybody read about it in the news. Yet, anybody can ever know that King David has done wonderful things. He's a man of God. He's a king that God has raised him. God said, he's the apple of my eye. I love him. Does anybody judge him? But God has to prove that he is a righteous God to deal with this issue. So that we can learn from it. All that was recorded by the Old Testament, the saints have gone before us, they have left their footprints on the set of time for us. So when we look at their walk, it is an admonition for us how we should walk. That's how important it is. Because you know we need to be learning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah? That's why I said this world is not our home. It belongs to Satan. And we are wrestling with something that we can't see with our natural eye. It's all around us, the spirit that got people to the place of doing the things that are against God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Colossians 1:13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, we are Christians, we are born again. I pray that we are all born again. Once you are born again, you have become the child of God, you are really translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now that we are in the kingdom. You understand? The kingdom of his dear Son. We are not in the kingdom of Israel. That is yet to come. And yet while we are in the kingdom of his dear Son, we must be able to learn. We must learn just as Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ came, he was born a little baby. He grew up as a little boy. And I may be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years old, and his father, Joseph, in his workshop, carpentry, you know, building tables, chairs, making cupboards, wardrobe. And here Jesus Christ came in 5 years or 6 years old, and he will be helping his father Joseph. Amen? Sure, he learned. Being, you know, that a child that is raised up, and that's how important it is, I say this. You train up a child that the way he should go, raise up to that spine. You know what? I was looking at the world today. If you know, I mean, somebody, we don't have any many young people here today. Most of us here, I think, are more than 20 years. But you see, back in those days of my time, when I was a teen, back in the 60s, you know, we are living in a different society from what it is now. In those days, we don't have the things that young people have today, right? Sure. So what do? We play marble, right? We play tops, five stones, whatever we throw, you know, those penny thing, you know, clay day, we call that over here in Singapore, clay day. I don't know where you know what clay day. The two lines you draw and you throw a stone, see who gets to the close of the line, and you're close of the line, then you are the one who will sit on the other person who's supposed to carry you. He's the horse and you are the rider. So we make him move around with the stone, things like that. So we play simple thing and all that, and we are very disciplined. And mother and father at that time give us a lot of freedom. We don't worry so much about education. Today, I know. Today everything is high-tech. Oh, children must learn. And you know, I pity for a lot of youngsters that they are being pushed to learning, ever learning, ever learning. They don't have any time for themselves. You know. I don't know. I hope and I pray that if there is another 10, 20 years to go, that my little grandson Adam should grow up to have a lot of time to play, not be pushed to be a doctor, to be a technician. You know what? Back in those days, I remember when Zoe was growing up and was already in a U. And, you know, we'll just let her be to learn what she wants and take her time. And then there's a lot of conversation going on. And because I was teaching that a woman, when you're married and your husband's salary could support you, stay home and look after your children, be a housewife. What a housewife! I said, yes, a housewife. You mean to say that you would like Zoe to be a housewife when she got a degree? What a waste! You know, people say, what a waste to get a degree and be a housewife! So what's wrong being a housewife? You know a housewife degree is higher than any other degree? You know a housewife job is never done? You agree? A housewife job is never done. Get up in the morning to get breakfast on the table for the children and the husband to go to work. Huh? And then make sure the children get to school. Then after that, do the washing. And then after the what that is due, prepare lunch. Is that right? And for the children to come out, have lunch. Then after that, perhaps you have an hour or two for the rest. Is that right? And then help the children with their homework or go out with them. And then in the meantime, it's about to come. Okay, cook again. Maybe in between time, you get your tea for your children. I remember my mom used to do that. And then in the meantime, come, you cook first. In between, you do your washing. Right? And your husband eat and enjoy the food, the children, and then after that, you got to wash all the leftover. Prepare everything. And by the time everything is ready, it's about bedtime. What degree can supersede housewife degree? You know, but the problem is that we live in the world is that everybody wants to be somebody up there. You know, if you don't have children, you just married, yeah, sure, work. Work when you have children. If your husband can support you, try to have more time with the children. Because why? You will miss your joy with the children. That's why Zoe have a lot of time with Adam. That's what was the intention of God. And you can do other job on the sideline. But that's what I believe. A housewife should be a housewife. A woman should be a housewife the best it can. But don't get upset with me if you disagree. Right? But now I'm just trying to say what the world has changed. So much changes in the world today. But here we are. We have been transcended to the kingdom of His dear Son. So what are we going to do? Are we going to learn to rule in this our life? How do you rule your life? By the word you speak, how you speak, the action that you have. Romans 5:17. Now remember that Jesus Christ, when He came, He grew up. Alright? He was learning. He was in school. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Huh? Now, death came to one man, Adam. So it gets on every one of us. But the Bible also promised that for those who receive the abundance of grace of our God, the gift of eternal life, righteousness, shall reign with Christ. But we shall reign with that one man. You understand? The word reign means to rule in life. To rule when we come to that time when we seek with Him in the millennium to rule with Him. But we can't rule and reign with Him if we cannot rule our life on this earth right now. That's why Jesus Christ, when He grew up as a man, you know, He spent time with His father, sure, Mary, Joseph, in the carpenter shop, and many times He would go out there by Himself to, you know, to learn the synagogue or the temple to hear the preaching, you know what I mean. And after when He grew up, He go out to the wilderness, spend more time with the Lord out there. You see. He lived in Nazareth. He was raised up in Nazareth. People know Him. And He ruined His own life. And the time came when He was called, baptized and get into the ministry, He still go out there for the one more time to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. To discipline Himself. Now I think, I don't know how many preachers, when they are called to do a ministry, if they feel that they are called, I said, you know, actually took time off to fast and pray before they start ministering the word. You know. So, it's not easy because you need to have your mind, your focus, your strength, your discipline. There's learning and schooling at the same time. We're not just, you know what teaching is? Teaching is 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 5. Oh, no, I mean 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, you know the mistake. So that's teaching. But you know the difference between teaching and tutoring? Huh? The Bible uses the word tutoring more than the word teaching. Tutoring is a tutor is one who guides a student, not just teach, huh? Tutor teach, of course, but he also guides the student and also discipline the student about his work, his homework. So tutoring and teaching is totally different. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit is teaching me, and I believe that this is exactly what the Lord taught Brother Branham. When the angel came to him, the first thing he said, if you would be sincere, you know, what if the angel came to him, what if God, or the angel of the Lord was saying, you know, to the angel, why did he come to Brother Branham and told him, if thou would be sincere, why did he do that? And you know, at that time, already there were a lot of great preachers, huh? Right? Because Pentecost started in 1906, 1909. The outpouring. You know. And there were many preachers rise up. And you know, definitely there's always those who want to be somebody great. There will be those who are only going after money. And you know, God told Brother Abraham, because he was given, he was ordained and called, and he told me, just be sincere. if you will be sincere. Be sincere. And you know, later on already around that circle, there are already those who are not sincere. Their purpose is just like today what we have. People like Benny Hinn. It's all about money. A dream vehicle, it's about money, glory. Build their own empire. Even Oral Roberts. It's sad. I mean, you know, here we have what we learn, and that's our problem. So if there comes a time that my ministry, there's no money, no fund to support this ministry, I will leave the ministry. You won't beg for money. Not like what many of the big evangelistic organizations, you know, preach are always appealing for money. Yes. And I was in America back in the 70, late 70s, early 80s. You watch on the television on Sunday, there's so many channels. And the preacher will always appeal for money. If you would send $100 offering, I will specially send you this Bible with my signature on it, with my autograph, whatever on it. Now back in the 80s, $100 is a lot. The Bible probably cost only $10 to print, because you've got to print a whole lot, it's cheaper. But he said, if you give $100 to the ministry, I will give you this Bible. What an appeal for money. I think what Brother Abraham said is true. If God calls you, you'll fit you. You know. So where is sincerity? Disciplining. Be sincere. Look at yourself. The kind of person that we are. Here, Jesus talked about in Romans here, you know, we were reign with him in life. What are we then? We are kings, are we not? Okay, let us go to the book of Revelation chapter 1:5. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the firstborn of the dead, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that love us, and wash us from our sins in his own blood. The prince of the kings of this earth. Well, some people will say that he is the king of kings, right? But the prince of the kings of this earth is talking about us. We are the kings and we are the queens. But he is the prince, he is the chief one, the one above all. Okay, look at it. Next one. In verse 6. And have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Right? We are all made kings. And have made us kings and priests. Yeah, we are right now, we are all ministering to, you know, we are all priests, we are holy priesthood. Peter said that. We are ministering to the Lord. Every time we sing and praise God, we are ministering to the Lord. We are kings. But before we, you know, though it is always God concerned those things that were not as though they were. Okay, right? But you know what? Before you can really become a king or a queen to rule with Christ in the millennium, to rule with him, you must be trained. And now, you remember back in the late 80s or early 90s, something, I think, you know, Prince Charles and Diana. Is it Diana? Princess Diana, Princess D. You know the problem that was going on? Ah. You know, the world was watching at that time. It's a prince and a princess. What's going on? So, you know, if we live in a country, like, okay, look at the history of Israel in the Old Testament. Look at some of the kings and the queens, huh? How they behave. Terrible. You know. So now we are all supposed to be prince and princesses right now. We need to be learning and to be tutored. And we have to be disciplining. The Holy Spirit is disciplining us. So remember how you speak the word, we speak the action that we put out. So Princess D and Prince Shao, wow, the story back then was terrible. So I pray that you know, people are watching us here that we call ourselves sons and daughters of God, prince and princesses. Then we need to really discipline our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Oh, well, we're going to judge angel one day. We're going to judge the world one day. But here, right now, while we are living here, are we not able to judge a simple thing in our life? All the things that pertain to this life, what are you going to do with it? Now here, brother, see, the Bible says, pray for one another, love one another. Right? But what does that mean? Do you know what I said? Well, the interaction between the body of Christ is so very important. And I believe that many churches fail. Our ears fail. Before we hardly even talk to each other. And some people just cannot talk to. What is happening? How can we call ourselves sons and daughters of God to be prince and princesses, to be king and queens, to sit with Christ in His throne, and yet we cannot even discipline our life? Because why? We refuse to be tutored. And how are you tutored? It's the Word. A brother and sister may come to talk to you and maybe explain something to you. You brush it off. We can never get to the place. I don't know how. Oh, but Brother Graham, that song that we sang early on. Do not struggle, it's by grace. So I'm not struggling, I'm not talking to anybody. It's by grace, I'll be a queen, I'm a queen, I'm a king, I'm a king. No, you know, this kind of thinking is still terrible. Huh? Like I heard it too often. God was told to me. If my children are predestinated to eternal life, they will be predestinated to eternal life. I don't have to worry. So, don't have to tell them about the Lord Jesus. Don't have to raise them up in Christ. So we don't have to go out there and preach the gospel. Jesus Christ talking rubbish then. What did Jesus Christ say? Go into all the world, he told the disciple, and preach the gospel. But what? If you believe God, you already know them. You already predestined them. So why do we need to do all these things? They will come to you. They will come to you. It's only because of you. They will come to Him. It's because of us. Because we are the instrument that God wants to use to bring them to Christ. That is His plan. Huh? You understand? Our climb Mount Fuji. It is predestined that I will climb Mount Fuji. I will be sitting on top of Mount Fuji. So I don't have to be worrying and flying to Tokyo and go out there. It will come to me. Is that so? The mountain will not come to you. You go to the mountain. Some people are twisting the gospel and the word of God the way they want, you know, just misapplying Bible verses. And how scary that is. Now even the verse that we read, Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. I already told you can think God that God has a grandfather. That Jesus Christ has a grandfather. God the grandfather, right? You know what I'm talking about? Right there in verse 6. So there is God the grandfather, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and God the Mother. So we have how many do you have? You can twist the gospel the way you like it. So let us not take the word of God out of context. So we are going to be judged, judging the world, yeah, sure. So what are we going to do? We need to discipline ourselves. You know, Ephesians chapter 3. What? Let's just look at Ephesians chapter 3. Here, you know, Paul's mission to the Gentile. How that, you know, by revelation he shows us all these mysteries. Everything that was in Christ Jesus. Right? So, all this that pertains to Revelation, the mystery that was given, I mean, that Paul was telling us, they are given to those that are God's children. So we are God's family, right? Okay? Are you not excited that when you read the Bible, hey, I am here in the Scriptures. I'm a child of God. He has given me all this understanding about Him, to love Him, that I belong to Him. Are you not excited? You know, I have never been so emotional. But of late, when I think about my the blessing that I had from God, I cried. When I meditated about things that I've done wrong, I cried. Because I'm looking at myself. And one side, I know that I'm His child. I'm someone that He loves. And yet, on the other side, I look at myself and say, oh, what am I? A person who's still weak and have still get frustrated at time and had weaknesses. You know what I mean? I look at myself, how on earth then? What am I doing? And when I think about all these things, I realize how important it is to be an overcomer. The Bible says you must overcome. That's why in the dream that I had years ago back in the 75, when I hugged the Lord Jesus Christ in that dream, I said, Lord, can I overcome? And the word He spoke, I can't remember which one He used, but He said, you shall or you would overcome. Or you shall or you will overcome. And I remember that, you know, like the song said, do not struggle as by grace, but I don't want to make grace a disgrace. Do you understand? We don't make God's grace a disgrace. I want to walk in the way that He wants me to walk. And the same that you all, we also walk the way that He wants us to walk. And one way to walk is that we need to learn to be tutored, to rule over our weakness, to watch our eye our what we say, not the thing that we do. You know what I can have? I sometimes get so pepped up, you know, that I'll sing in the bathroom, and I'll just shower singing, and I'll just, you know, a little dance. And, I mean, it's just a joy. Because the Bible promises, the Scripture said so. Huh? It reminds me of one thing. You know what an accident is? It is said an accident is defined as, an accident is an unexpected, unforeseen occurrence. Something that creeps up on God while He was not looking. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everywhere I do. You know what accident? Oh yeah, we know the accident is an unexpected, unforeseen occurrence, right? Isn't it? So you stand out there on the roadside and suddenly a cyclist lost control, hit into you, and you have your arm fractured. So that's an accident. So it's an unforeseen circumstance. But who do you blame? You blame it on the guy. Right? So when we talk about accident, do you believe that it is also another side of it could be weak? Can we say that it is also God's arrangement? Okay, let's say, for example, one day I was just standing on the roadside. And I want to cross the road. Just waiting, happy waiting. And of course, it was a roadside, was just on a high level. It was a lorry parked on the roadside, a little bit on the incline. And I just waiting to cross and, you know, taking my leisure, you know. Even though the light was in my favor, I just don't want to cross here. I just think about something. And here was a brother over there. Hey, brother, God, come on, come over. You know, so I look at him, okay. Anyway, it was a great mess, I walk over. And I start to walk. Here, that lorry driver got off his lorry. And he forgot to put on his handbrake. And the lorry started coming down. So after all, it was green for me to walk, so I'm not looking at it. So the lorry came over there and knocked me down, and I broke my leg. So was it an accident? Yeah. So who do we blame? We blame it all. The brother should have called me to come over. Because he calls me to come over, that's what happened. It wouldn't have happened if he did not call me, right?
Sure.
Secondly, the driver, he should not get out of his driving, out of his lorry. He should just stay in the lorry. And because he got out of the lorry, he forgot to put on the handbrake, and the whole lorry started coming down and crashing to me. Isn't it? And you can blame it on the green man. It should not turn green. It should be red. So everybody, you blame it on anything. Accident, you blame on this, right or not? Have you ever wondered, many times in your life, every day we walk, going to work, take the bus, take the car, everything, right? Do you know that every time you go out, you don't know what time you leave, okay? You just go. Every day, the whole day happens to be nice, no problem. Correct? Do you know that if you have left a minute earlier, there might be an accident for you? Or 1 minute later, there might be an accident for you? Sure, isn't it? Correct? Yeah. So we do not know what is going to happen. Accident can happen. But do you know what the Bible said? Let's go to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknown, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. For good. To them that love the Lord, not just for anybody. Hard to comprehend. Because when we got in the accident and we have to be in the hospital, hanging up 1 foot in the monkey bar this side, and an eye hanging out in the monkey bar that side, and a traction on our neck, we don't like it, will you? We might be thinking of myself, oh, what did this thing happen? Oh, the stupid man, why did he drive the car like that? Why don't you put on his handbrake? We blame everything. What would not? Come on, honestly.
Yes.
But if we forget about this verse, like your brother and sister come here, come on, brother. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Would you want to be like that? Suffering like me right now? Of course you won't. So you get all upset, frustrated. You see, that's what happened to James and John. That happened to Peter. Peter was told the truth. You're one of them. Your speech betray you. I don't know what you're talking. I'm not. That is not the curse of swear, right? You see, we lost our focus. Peter lost his focus. He was worried. He was thinking about himself. He was afraid. You know what? I know, when we are afraid, we do all crazy things. I know it, which you, when you're afraid, we do all funny things. See? And this is the cause of the sweat. Oh, like James and John said, call fire to come down and judge the person. James. When I always talk about this incident, I always remember about the incident I had on the way to the airport with the Mercedes Benz. Fellow, I wanted to scratch his car. You know that frustration that we all have. God is showing us in the scripture about character like this. For to make us realize, what do we do? Now Peter and James and John, they have not the Holy Spirit yet, huh? But now that we have the Holy Spirit that was given to us right now, Can we not overcome this problem easier, we will say? Because we have, you see, we have the Holy Spirit as a tutor. Bible say that the Holy Spirit is given to what? To guide us and to lead us. Is that right? Not into all truth, is to learn the truth. What God requires of us. Yes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Of course, not all things are good. Obviously, some things are not good, but it happens. Some good things come our way, yes, like the family, the children of the God-fearing mama, we want bread. Mama said, I'll pray for bread. And so, good thing happened, right? Our bread was sent out from God by God through the delivery truck, and they have bread. This is good. But not all things are good. So, what the Bible say? The rain fall upon the just and the unjust. Not because we are Christian, accident doesn't happen. Not because we are Christian, we don't get sick. There's no such a thing. The rain will come down upon anyone, everyone. Like in the war, people suffer. Like in the war of Germany against Europe. Hitler's gone mad. Go out there killing all the Jews and get all the Jews. Who else suffered? Everybody else suffered too. In war. What about Japan when it went for Second World War? What is the emperor's name? The one that went to war? And then we got a General Tojo. What a madman he was. And suddenly attacked throughout China and even Southeast Asia, Philippines and all that. Suddenly attacked Pearl Harbor. What then? There's no stopping them. Until America threw the bomb down at Hiroshima. How many people die out there? Innocent people. In America, because even the evil people out there too, they throw a second bomb in Nagasaki. They don't have to do that. You know, but some of those people who doesn't care who died. They just want to stop the war. You seen a paper recently? A photo went viral in the internet about the Syrian little boy, drawn, pulled out from the rubble when the bomb was being thrown out there in Syria. And of course, he I think he was only 5 years old. He must mean that he was in a state of shock, sat down there when somebody took him out. He was from a rubble, of course, he was not injured practically. Perhaps with some bruises and scratches, he was shocked before he sat down there. Probably he doesn't know what's going on. What's all that noise? What's all the bombing? What's happening? Where's my mama? Where's my papa? War is never good. It's an evil thing. But as you know, this world belongs to the devil. He had but a short time. People are going to die. The thing is, are we prepared to meet our God? Alright, so Romans 5:17 again. Let us go back to that verse. So we need to remain in when we are students, we learn, right? So we don't fast with God or anything. You know, when you fast over it, it only prolongs the time. For if by one man's offense death ruined by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign as to rule in life by one Jesus Christ. So, if you want to rule with Christ, okay, let us learn. If we examine ourselves, we say, okay, we are weakness, we have to really do something. We cannot fast over it. The more we fast over it, It only prolongs the time. You understand what I'm saying? If you have committed a sin against a brother or sister, if you have done something wrong, get over it. Get it over with quickly. Make right. Don't prolong it. It's only a waste of time. And that's why I was... That's what happened with the brother over in the Philippines. And the fast over with me over something and accused me of something. I said, what on earth did you get that thing? I don't know where you get that. I said, show me what I've done to you. And he kept on coming up and this and that. And I'm a total at the loss for word. And finally I says, This is not true. You just don't take my word for it. And you accuse me of it, just show me the email that you said I wrote. He said, oh, I already erased it. I said, I don't even have anything against you. What do you think that? And then finally on his own side, he came on saying all kinds of things and told me that there will be no reconciliation. Well, first you want me to reconcile, and the next morning he said, no more reconciliation with you. But I want to find out what have I done, what you have done. I have no idea what it is. And he got all upset. You know, one thing about this is that if we cannot sit down and talk like what we would have in the Wild West time between the white man and the Indian chief sitting together on the round, what do you call it, a campfire and smoking peace pipe, and the Indian chief said to the white man, don't speak with fork tongue. You know, if you're speaking the truth, smoke this peace pipe. That's our agreement. This is this. And if the white man don't want to smoke the peace pipe, is he speaking the fucked up? You know, how can you do? You see, I, you know, Brother Bram said a lot of things about Geronimo. You know, there are a lot of things that people think. When I was young, I tell you one thing, when I was young, I don't know about you, because in those days, the movies that we have is not the movies that you have now. Transformer and you know what else. In those days, just cowboy Indian. Huh? You all remember cowboy Indian? Oh, yes. And all our stories are about the white man is a good guy and the red Indian is a bad guy. How many of you know, those of you who are my age, you probably see. We go to pay 10 cents and go watch a movie. And this is what we know. So, when always you watch a red Indian coming, we say, oh, this is the bad guy. We are just waiting for the cavalry to come. The next moment, oh, here comes the cavalry. You see, all the kids will cheer in the cinema. And we all believe that the white guys are the good guys. And then when you grow up, when I grew up and studied American history a little bit, and I found out, oh my goodness. You know, Brother Bram said, the white men are renegades, not the Indians. That's right. And look at Africa today. Wow, people think Africa are so backwards. Yeah, I know some are backwards because a lot of problem happens right there. Huh? Yeah, because what the Bible says is that Ham's lioness has been cursed. In one way or another, they have that effect. But problem also is that they were subjugated by the white people from England, from Europe, or America, make them slaves. And after that, America, they struggle to have their freedom. You know that, don't you? And how many of these black leaders died for it? Martin Luther King, Jackson. How many of them died for it? Assassinated. Oh my. Look at India. To be free from the white man's rule. Who was that man who stood against them? Gandhi. And their protest is very simple. No violence. But the white man is always using a lot of violence. But we don't really, now we come to see it to be true. And the whole world right now is particularly influenced by America. Sad, but it's true. Over on the roof, yeah, we have to look at ourselves. Let's go to Proverbs 25:28. Ah, this is one of the important things. As I said this, we are to rule. We are to learn to rule so that we can reign with Christ. Okay, Proverbs Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See that? Do you understand that? He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Because why? Enemy comes in because there is no protection. So if you don't rule over your own spirit, then what? Don't blame it on other people. Just think about it. Blame it on yourself. Don't. We are the problem, not the other people. The circumstances of the lorry coming down and hit me, and the brother calling me over from across the street to walk across it, and happened to be a green man, and happened that the lorry driver forgot to put on his handbrake, and I got my leg fractured. The problem is not there. Not the driver, not the handbrake, not the green light, not the brother who coming. It's just a circumstance, and it's just a circumstance that happened. But when it happened after that, the problem is me. You understand what I'm talking about? I remember one time when I was coming home from night fellowship. And I was on my motorcycle. It was a little drizzling. I was coming home, almost to my home, you know, at Big Y. And, I saw the green light change to amber. And then in front there was a car. And he was at the same speed as me, I was behind him. I thought that he's going to, you know, cross, to turn right and cross. So I was falling short. Suddenly he jammed his brake. And when he jumped his brake, I jumped mine. And being that I'm on two wheels, being that it was a motorcycle, on a little, you know, drizzling wet road, the bike went, and I skidded and hit his car in front, just dented him, and I fell. He got up. I was upset because my finger was all on the road. And to this day, there are some of the sand that are stuck in there, beneath the skid. He got out from the car, he says, what happened, what happened? I, in fact, scored him instead. You know, I was so fast that I scored him. I said, you shouldn't have stopped, sir, cross, it's the amber, you know. And look at me. He was just so stunned. And then I realized, it was my fault. I was getting too close, I was thinking that he would cross. You know, that's the accident that remind me that always any driver on the road, they are not good driver. I always think that the driver on the road, other than you, they are the bad drivers. Okay? So you always have to be vigilant. You understand? Thinking that all these drivers are careless. You see, the frustration that happened at least, blaming on others. This wouldn't happen if you don't jump on your brake. So, but the Bible says here, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down with one wall. Because from that moment, when you get upset, you start to score him. I started scoring. You know what I mean? Things are just singing. So, it's not his fault. But that moment, so what now? Am I going to control the spirit and realize it? Or am I going to get frustrated and continue and yell and fight with them like you see on the roadside, they fight each other over a little thing? Wow. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rule his spirit than he that taketh a city. Wow. You know how true. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You see, here come out a man, big size. Huh? Trying to bully somebody. I've seen the road race many times. I don't want you like, I don't understand. And the person who is quiet is being bullied. And this big guy who thinks that he's 6'6" and weighs 235 pounds, as the song said, he thinks that he's a big guy. And a guy who keeps his mouth shut. Whether he's big size or small size, as long as he keeps his mouth shut, the Bible said that he is what? He's better than the mighty one. And he that rule his spirit is better than one who take a city. True. The word ruled in Hebrew here in the word is mashal. To rule, to have dominion, to have power over one's own life. That's what the word rule here means. Different from the other rule that we read earlier on in Romans. This one means to have dominion over, have power over my own spirit. That's what Bible, what God wants us to have. Have power over your own spirit. Alright, so you cannot control all the circumstances all around you. But the one thing for sure, you can control your own spirit. We cannot control all the things that's going on, but we can control our own spirit and our attitude. One time I remember preaching on the message, beat your attitude. You know beatitude? I entitled it as beat your attitude. So whenever time your attitude is bad, you better beat yourself. Huh? I was watching this Olympic badminton, you know, in one of the games. The guy made a mistake, he beat his own face. That's good. I make that mistake. Beat your attitude. So don't blame it on whatever, you know. Alright? We cannot govern anybody else. We cannot control circumstances. We cannot determine what's going to happen. We cannot determine other people's behavior. But we can determine our own behavior and our conduct. And I said this before, whatever happened, the circumstances are not the problem. We are the problem. It's how our attitude towards them. It's our attitude. Blame it on the brother who called me to cross the road. Blame it on the green man that allows me to cross. Blame it on the lorry driver who got out and forgot his handbrake on. Blame it on the road that was inclined at the road the lorry could come down. But once in a while, we just blame it on myself. That I shouldn't have crossed the road anyway, then it wouldn't have happened in the first place. Yes. Alright? So anytime when you have problem with people, anytime they have any circumstance that happen, remember one thing for sure. It happened because it happened. Not because God wasn't looking. Now we all know that God watches over us. Well, how many believe that God watches over us? You sure? Huh? Okay, God watches over us. So when an accident happened, God happened to turn his head around and take up a cup of tea. And this thing happened. Is that what it is? No! God knows it's going to happen! But God has a reason to allow it to happen! That's, you know, why he allowed the thing to happen to Peter! You know, and happened to have it at the time when Jesus was with James and John over there in the city. And how the city did not respond. God knows it's going to happen and God is going to teach them something. We learn from everything that happened to us, for sure. As I said this, don't blame on the source of the circumstances. Blame it on us, our own self. Okay, and in this hour of time, especially the world that we live in now, you know, there is so much distress and so much confusion in the world. But at the same time, I don't know if you ever talk to people. I know you've shared with them about the soon coming of the Lord. You know, Christians say, yeah, they know that Christ is coming soon. But if you ask them, how soon do you think Christ will be returning? They will say, probably I will not, I don't know. Maybe I hope that maybe another 20, 30 years, something like that will, everyone will give. And some of them say, we do not know. And I ask them, what will you be doing then? As regarding the coming of the Lord, what is your attitude towards the whole thing? So you get all kinds of answer. Huh? You know? And a very common thing is that I know Jesus Christ is coming. So I'm just living a good Christian life. It doesn't matter when he's coming, I just live a good Christian life. Some people just respond like this. But It's one thing to say, and you know and I know that there is a lot of excitement on the internet, especially when you come to people who, whether they are anti-message or not, doesn't matter. There are a lot of them. They are all saying, Christ is coming, Christ is coming. Okay? And somebody just wrote me, talked to me on the phone. I can't remember who he was. Oh, Brother Pierre. He said that one other brother heard from a friend outside that Jesus Christ is coming on the 18th of August. And he said, then Brother Pierre said, don't listen to all this. You know what the word teaches. We know where we are now. But of course, the 18th August came and went. How can you fix a day? Nobody can fix a day as far as the coming of the Lord is concerned. Is that right? You want to fix a day about any other thing, that's fine. Now you can say, Brother Branham, you know that I think in two places, if I'm not mistaken, the way he spoke about his life, how that he will end. And he would give us this understanding that he's going to die at 56 years old. Yes, I think in two places, the way he spoke about it, and the age that he was mentioning. 56 years old. It was 1909. And he died in 65. Right? Am I not right? 56 years old. Well, that's really something. He knows. So do you know when you're going to leave? Number brother, he knows where he's going to live. But you want to put up that, yes, on such a day, such a thing will happen. That's fine. But as far as the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, when he will come, you can never fix a day. You only know the seasons and the time that it's going to happen. There will be signs and things that will reveal to us. This thing is going to happen, and that thing is going to follow, and this is what is going to happen. That we know. So, we must have a discerning spirit, or else the source of confusion is you. You hear this one say this? Yes. Hear the one say that? Yes. And end up, it wasn't true. Alright? Alright, let's go to another verse of scripture in Luke chapter 14. Chapter 12. Let me define the word will. W-I-L-L. Alright? Let me define this word will first. It says will is the power. That dictionary defined will as the power of conscious, deliberate action. The faculty by which the mind makes choices and acts to carry them out. Got it? The will is the power of conscious, deliberate action, the faculty by which the mind makes choices and acts to carry them out. Okay. Luke 12:47 to verse 48. And that someone which knew his Lord's wills and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, which shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Wow. So, we have much here in this fellowship concerning the Word of God. So much is required of us. So in that case, we don't know more. Is that what we are? But the thing is, the more that is given, the more it builds our faith up. Is it not true? Is it not true? So when we have faith built up, anything that happens, we don't blame on anybody else, because faith don't blame on anybody else. Faith don't blame on circumstances. Faith don't blame on accident. Whatever happened, we know what the Bible said. All things happen for good to them that love God, not to those that do not love God. So if we love God and we have the faith, so then God allows it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I know it's bad sometimes when we suffer. So nobody wants to. Now when we get a blessing, we say, praise the Lord, right? Well, I got an increase in salary, $200. Praise God, I got a big bonus. Praise the Lord. But when something happened, do we praise the Lord? Oh, praise God that I have a broken leg. Nobody said that. Obviously nobody said that. But you know what happened if that broken leg was there? God knows what's going to happen down the road for you if you don't have a broken leg on that day. Huh? And an accident can happen to prevent your death even. You realize that, don't you? So we should accept everything. So faith, we don't blame. So but we have the will as well. So the will. So how do we exercise this will? God demands that you have a conscious, put a conscious effort in what you do. So can we consciously say, thank God that this thing happened to me for a reason? Right? The time when I was in America, when Zoya was just only, 3 years old, and Zoya was just a year old, when we turned back from Jeffersonville after the convention, we were in Los Angeles. And since we were there for one day, we just took them to Disneyland. On the way back in the taxi dropped us outside the hotel. But the hotel, as we approached the hotel driveway, there was already a car, in that front door. So the taxi driver just moved to the side, just only a couple of feet from where the car was. But the moment I got out from the front seat to try to carry Zoya, somebody threw me. My bag was on my right shoulder. I suddenly found myself flew in the air and landed on my back. I was on the back stunned. And here were two big guys lying on my back like this. And two big black guys was trying to pull my back away from me. I refused to let it go. I was holding it like this. And then one guy was kicking me. So I was so furious, I kicked his groin. And I missed his groin. Missed it. And he was furious, and his foot, next moment, his big foot, I mean it's about size 12, came slamming into my face. And I did this. He just hit my... Then I realized for the instant, I need to let go of this back. Because I don't know what the guy have, the other guy have, I don't know whether they have guns or whatever else. So I let it go. So they took it and they ran down the alley. So the taxi driver came up with his crowbar. We changed right down the dark alley. And behind was a car park. And then there was a car that came to pick them up. And I was shouting, "Return me my passport." But it went. So, what could I do? We went to the hotel, we just prayed. And we just realized that I just told the Lord, just forgive them. So we don't have passport. We lost the camera. We lost some few dollars inside, not much, because the money is in my wallet. So only that we were stranded. So we called up the brother and sister over in San Francisco, and they put us up. And we spent about a week with them. At least we get to know them. So we get to know more about Brother Horton. So God has a purpose for that. So things happen. But now I'm so glad that I missed that man's groin. If I got him, he might be furious. And the other person might be attacking me. I mean, they're big size fella. I put out a fight. Automatically, I put out a fight. The self-defense. But when you see that there's too many of them, you can't do a thing. Anyway, just let it go. Alright, let's go on. Okay, now this will thing. If we have this will, we must make this conscious effort. Say, I must exercise righteous authority over my own will. Now, just not acting upon a will that you must have a righteous authority. You exercise what is right over your will to choose that which is right. Do you know sometimes, many times, to avoid a quarrel or a fight with some stranger, huh? In fact, many times, because Singapore is so crowded now, there were times when I was walking, here was a man that cut into my path like this. As when you're up the escalator, you know when you're up the escalator and you happen to be one on one side, the other one on the side. So when you come out of the escalator, you expect to walk forward, right? This guy just suddenly cut into your path because you want to turn right and you bang into him. You get upset. And when he gets upset and look at you like this, like, tell me, as if I'm no wrong. You are driving a car, man. You want to turn right, you make signal, right? Or let the car go first before you go. But he can't do it. The few times this thing happened. And the only thing is that I just said sorry, that's the best thing. You know what I mean? Just say sorry. So whether you're in the right and the wrong, even though you're in the right, just say sorry. You exercise the righteous authority over your own will. What are you gonna do? Yeah, the person making the mistake, so you look at you wanna fight with him or what? It's not gonna work. So it's the important thing is what you want us to discipline ourselves in this crazy world that we live in. All right. First Peter, a few more verses, just to be close. 1 Peter 4:12. And do you know, when we talk about our will, when we exercise authority over us, our will like soil, you know, like soil, huh? You know, the ground where you plant this earth, like soil. You need to be watered. You know, the soil, if the soil is not watered, not dead, it's always dried up, it cracks up. The wind comes, it's blown away. So the will is like a soil that is watered by God's word. Okay? For us. And you know what a potter does to clay? Now, clay, you know what clay is, right? If the clay is in its fine form, it's just like powder, like sand. So when you put water, it becomes a lump. So that the potters can what they call, manipulate, or what do you call that? Mold, huh? The clay into shape. So the same thing is that our mind, our will is just the same like a soil, like a clay. It's being watered by God. And that's the reason why we need to know more about God's word, read and study his word, so we continue to grow in the grace and faith of God. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Well, yes. Whatever strange thing happened to you. Well, like for example, when I have this herpes. When I came back from Bolivia, when I was in the past, one of the highest city in the world, it was high. I think I'm 11,000 feet or something. Anyway, it's mile high up there. So I was there. You know, the oxygen level was so low and was having headache in the night. Don't know what was happening to my head. I couldn't even move my head a little bit. I had to walk very still. You just move ahead, it's like you're shaking an egg yolk inside there. It hurts. Pain. Very painful. I got up in the middle of the night like that, so I took Panadol. And happened that I have only two left, and I took it, and I got up in the 6 a.m. in the morning. Oh my, the pain was serious, so I had to go to the toilet, turn on the hot water, and just get all warm up. Then I went down to the pharmacies to get some of this tablet. Of course, found later on that the problem is mouth sickness, and they call it Sorochi. And I'm speaking English, the other one is speaking Spanish. I says, Panadol, aspirin. They do not. She doesn't understand. Then she looked at me, I said, Oh, Suruchi, Suruchi. So I said, no, Panadol. And he said, hey, show me this tablet, you know. And he said, Suruchi, mountain sickness. Then I realized, I don't even have money because I came in the evening and didn't change any money. I show her my hotel key, which is just next door. I said, I'll come back, give money. Okay. So, you know, after I came back, I was a week there. I came back a month later, a full-grown herpes on my mama. I said, what is going on? The tingling sensation, the pain. And then the phone, 3 days, bleeding, blister, ow, terrible. And I don't know what it is. My wife didn't even know what it is. We never seen it before. You know, so I thought, well, clean it up and it should be okay. A few months later, again, it just come. The tingling sensation, the burning. And within a few hours, I look into the mirror, the lips start to swell. And then next morning, pimples start to come out, blister. Oh my. And I don't know what is it. I said, Lord, I might get him on. And I went to the internet, and there was, on the internet, there was a website where a doctor will answer your question. So I described, said I was in La Paz, you know, and I came home with this, and what happened, described. And he refused to tell me what it was. He says, go to this link, and you, I don't know what you have. And I went to the link, it says, herpes. And I read, I said, I know what herpes is. And then I read further about what I have. It said, this is caused by sexual activities. Oh my goodness. As if it was social activity. Then further now he says that 1 out of 10 people in America had this. And only 1 out of these 10 people, I mean 1 out of 10 in America suffer from this. And then 1 out of the 10 people in this got it because of stress. And those who go up the mountain, who are not prepared to go up to the mountain, get this. So I got this. You know, at first I was wondering, the first time when I read it, I said sexual activity, you know, even children get it because the parent kissed them. And I said, what have I done, Lord, what have I done? Yeah, well, I should get this. You know, a strange thing, like the Bible says, some strange thing happened to me. So what have I done? And I told the Lord, I cannot go overseas anymore until you get rid of this. Because it would just pop up. When I went to Sri Lanka, it was pop up the day that I left. In the plane, the thing blows up. And I had to cover up with cream because, you know, it's bloody, it's terrible painful for 1 week every week. And I told the Lord, I don't know what to do. And then found that there was only one cure. God showed me. Oxygenation. That's why I told my son when he comes back, I stayed by a whole lot of oxygen. And I start to spray the burning sensation of pure oxygen. You jump in liquid form. Then the moment you've done that, it's over. You never come back. And very fortunately for me, if God wasn't with me to take to when I was having it, I would have blind my own eye. Because if this thing gets in your eye, you're blind. It's a virus attack. Once it's healed up for the moment, the virus go and sleep behind your neck. When you're under stress, the virus will come out again and cause it to blow up. If you have it in your private part, when it dries up, the virus will go back to your tailbone and sleep for a while. And when you're under stress, it comes up and it starts to multiply and blow up your whole thing. It's all very ugly, terrible looking. And I was saying, Lord, you're going to do something, and he did. But like the Bible mentioned, as a strange affliction. Huh? Isn't it? Some strange thing. Fiery trial. It was burning to me as far as I'm concerned. You know. This is what is it? But God is good. 2 Corinthians 4:17. You know, when I got there that time, I finally, I really told God, I said, I'm not going anymore overseas. I even asked that time Brother Albert to write a letter to all the pastors and churches that Brother God is no longer able to travel. And well, Brother Albert did not realize what it was. He said, it's not so bad. He saw it because I put it on. It's not so bad. I said, okay, watch the movie, watch the video. I took a video. I said, well, look at it. Brother Jimmy saw it. The whole church didn't know I was suffering. The whole thing was just so ugly, like your face had been scrubbed by a big piece of sandpaper, rub on it.
You know what I mean? Rapa, literally. You know. So what I thank God. And I told him, even if he don't do me anything, don't do anything, I'm not going. Because anytime it can happen overseas, not able to control. Alright, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, oh man, light affliction. The Bible calls it light affliction. When you have affliction, what's it like? How many of us have affliction? Brother Henry, you got a problem now with all this. Is it light affliction? Now, sister, when you have eye problem, I mean, not eye problem, the ringing in her ear, is it light affliction for her? Definitely not. Everybody thinking that there's nothing done because my problem is worse than your problem. Is it? It's a light affliction, but God called it light affliction, which is true, but we compare to those that suffer in the past. The Holocaust, the torture in the Dark Ages. You want to compare to that? And yet many people are willing to die for the faith that they have. Look at the apostles. They all were martyrs for the faith, except for John. For a lot of affliction which is but for the moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Alright, so in the end we'll say that we keep cool under pressure. Bring our thought process under subjection to Christ. There is a time when we have to say no, we have to say no. And when we have to say yes, we say yes. When we have the choice to make, when it's no, it must be no. It's right. He said yes, it must be yes. No, wishy-washy thing. Otherwise, you know, we have all the situation, we have the problem. Blame it on the husband, or blame it on the wife, blame it on the children, blame it on the mother, blame it on the father. Huh? And then we have habits, overindulging in habits, bad habits, outbursts of anger, sarcasm, lust, presumption, etc. Presumption. You know, reading between the lines. I remember 20 years ago when I preached this message, I was talking about this reading between the lines. And I asked the congregation, I said, is it not true that the tendency is that many of us people tend to read between the lines? We look at a brother, we look at a sister, and we read between the lines their action. I said, more so the woman. The woman is known as it's a fact, the woman had this tendency of reading between the lines than the man. The brother is looking at me, he's staring at me. Look at the behavior. You know, you're reading behind what people are, you think that the person are doing these things. You know, and I ask congregation, is it not true that women are more in this? Only one sister in the church at that time said, amen. I said, that's very honest. And you say it. And you know, we don't start reading between the line, but, you know, just because the person, you know, in back in those days, in the 70s, when all that other church speak bad about me and all that thing about the church, yeah, even when the sister came up and told me that, you know, yeah, brother, you know, and I was in the bus, the sister of the other churches were in the same bus, they look at me and they refuse to smile and say hello. Yeah, I mean, there are people like that. Just because you're not of the same faith or maybe not in agreement, they don't even, they look at you. I know, I experienced it because I was down in the city and saw the brother looking at me out there, and I was walking straight and shaking, he just walked away. And that's a real fact. But I'm not reading the line and saying, but he hates me. You know. That's why when I always see a brother, I look and go down there and shake his hand. You know, brother, I'm saying, shake the brother and say, God bless you, read the Trinity in a minute. So don't read between the lines, and that's what happened to the disciple James and John. The time when we said, this is a wicked city. How do you know? Jonah! Go over to Nineveh. No, what do you want me to go there? That's a wicked people. I mean, who are you to judge? How do you know they are wicked? No, not necessarily all wicked. You know. So, cannot just be very thoughtful about some presumption thing. Okay? So, and also don't blame it on your temperament. I know that some parents blame, told me one, some of them told me, I said, my son is like that, my daughter is like that. Well, what are you going to do with it? I know that they all have temperament. But they're kids, but what about you trying to help them understand? But when you're an adult, don't blame it on your temperament. You know? Everybody have all this, or you will rot if you do that. Last two verses. If you have a temperament like this and you always blame it, you're going to rot and stink. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So it's the house of God. There are some vessels, of course, of gold and silver, some of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. So what are you going to be? Anyone, as Paul would say, that when some of these that are put into the fire, all that will be destroyed. If they are wood and stubble, they'll be destroyed. But their soul is safe. They can now reward nothing. It says here that sow an egg, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. Right? Sow an act, you reap a habit. Sow the habit, you reap a character. Sow the character, you reap a destiny. Here is a poem that I got from a book. The author is unknown. It's called The Valley of Weeping. The Valley of Weeping. I have been through the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow and pain. But the God of all comfort was with me, at hand to uphold and sustain. As the earth meets the clouds and the sunshine, our souls need both sorrow and joy. So He places us oft in the furnace, the dross from the gold to destroy. When He leads through some valley of trouble, His omnipotent hand we trace. For the trials and sorrows He sends us are part of His lessons in grace. Well, He knows that affliction is needed. He has a wise purpose in view. And in the dark valley He whispers, "Hereafter, thou know what I do." As we travel through life's shadowed valley, fresh springs of His love ever rise. And we learn that our sorrows and losses are blessing just sent in disguise. So we follow wherever He leadeth, let the path be dreary or bright. For we have proved that our God can give comfort. Our God can give songs in the night. It's a beautiful poem. So everything that happened, when we later we realized that all was for our well-being. That's true. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. And let us all who love You, Father, be truly obedient, Father. To learn, to be tutored, to be taught, to be disciplined, to be guided by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, help us, O Lord, to learn like what Peter had gone through, James and John also, even King David, and all those prophets and apostles and saints of old,
who have left their footprints in the sands of time, how that they have been through much affliction themselves. And they left us, O Lord, something to learn. And we are thankful, Lord, that you have it recorded for us, that we may know our weaknesses as well. We thank you, Lord. We ask for your blessing today, Lord. Forgive us all our weaknesses and our trespasses against anybody or anything, Lord. Just as you said in your word, Elijah, and all the other great men of God, they are men of like passion. Failures, success, good, bad, whatever. Because, Lord, you are teaching us at this time to be able to rule our own spirit, that we may overcome all that we are in our weaknesses. That, Lord, we may be able to sit with you in that day when we come, when you come to reign. We thank you, Father, for your grace now. Bless all that you have given us, that we may be faithful to all that you have granted, O Lord. For we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.